This is Wake Up Call.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On the Sports Map Radio Network.
All right. Let's do this.
Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us as we continue along on Wake Up Call. A big day in the NFL yesterday. We'll get more into the Denver Broncos acquiring their franchise quarterback in Russell Wilson. What will the Seattle Seahawks look like? We'll also talk about the Green Bay Packers and the decision of Aaron Rodgers to stay exactly where he is right now. Eric Devendorf will join us as well. He's an analyst talking some ACC basketball, former guard at Syracuse. By the way, they play today against Florida State. We'll get a preview of that tournament, which is being held in Brooklyn, New York. And, of course, we've got the good, the bad, and the dumb coming up in just a couple of minutes. Hour number three, Frank Schwab, our good friend from Yahoo Sports, is going to join us to help us break down yesterday's big, big news. It was exciting because the NFL spreads itself out the way it does. But as we talked about in hour number one, there's a couple of ways to view the Russell Wilson acquisition by the Broncos. One, they do get a Pro Bowl quarterback. Two, they've been putting him on a team that everybody says is championship level good if they could just get the right person under center. Three, don't look at the 7-10 season by the Seahawks as any indication of how Russell Wilson is playing today. Healthy, he is still a top-level quarterback. He had a finger injury. He had surgery on it, and he missed three games, came back a little early, really struggled with that injury until it finally started to heal. And when it did, towards the last part of the season, the Seahawks were playing better football. He's going to have more weapons in Denver. He is going to have a better offensive line in Denver. He's going to have a better defense in Denver. The Seahawks are going to be starting from scratch. And when you say start from scratch in the NFL, the turnaround can be pretty quick or it can be pretty long, depending on how you utilize the pieces that you're given to rebuild. Detroit might take a few years. Seattle, they might be able to turn it around in, two. Who knows? But nevertheless, this is something that Denver has been in pursuit of since they won the Super Bowl in Super Bowl 50 back in 2016. They have not been able to land that quarterback that can take them back into the postseason. Forget Super Bowl. They haven't even been to the playoffs. So now they've got a quarterback that will put them in the playoffs, but whether or not he gets them to the Super Bowl is another story because the AFC is just too loaded. Let me just say this, and this is all due respect to Russell Wilson and the Broncos. I would be shocked. And I know the nature of the playoffs. It's quirky because it's one and done. I would be shocked if the Buffalo Bills, if the Denver Broncos make the Super Bowl before the Buffalo Bills. Right? I think there's a hierarchy. I think those teams are better. We will see how the AFC plays itself out. Good, the bad, and the dumb coming up next as we continue with Wake Up Call.
Wake Up Call continues now on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Time for the good.
That's really nice.
The bad.
That's the bad guy.
And the dumb.
What an idiot. Oh, what a loser.
All right, good. The bad and the dumb here on your Wednesday. My goodness, as we're rolling along this week. What is the good of the day, my friend?
The good of the day is the best kind of good of the day.
Oh, I love it. What's the best kind of good?
Dick Vitale is cancer-free.
Oh, I know. Wasn't that a great story yesterday?
Yeah. Now, we don't know if he's going to be able to call any games, be an analyst or anything like that during March Madness, but this is the best way to kick off March.
Yeah.
This is his time. So I'm certain that there's going to be an interview somewhere down the road, but just the fact that, people will be buzzing about the fact that he's cancer-free.
I think Dick Vitale has had such an amazing career. It's really, really hard to put into context his level of importance to people in the sport of college basketball because he has been so prevalent in it for so long that there isn't a college basketball player in the game that has not wanted Dick Vitale to call a game, right? I mean, like when he would call the SEC tournament, he was like celebrity famous. Like people wanted pictures and his autograph and like he would just walk around and people would scream at him. He is because he loves college basketball. He loves it and he wants you to love it too. And he has meant so much to that sport. And this is the time. And I mean this with all due respect to college basketball. It's really the only time America really jumps in as a whole the sport. And this is his month. And I'm really hoping there's some way he can find, even if it's just on Twitter, his analysis of what he's seeing in the games on Selection Sunday tournament, whatever it is.
Yeah, short little videos.
Yeah.
Because I know it was back, in January or maybe even December, he was told by doctors to rest his vocal cords.
Right.
So, I mean, you know, he can't, I mean, because he was, I mean, even though he was diagnosed with cancer, he was broadcasting some games. And then he, you know, was put on rest. So, yeah, I don't know what this means moving forward, but I'm hoping, you know, do a Zoom call.
I hope so. Into a studio
and let him share some thoughts.
I hope so.
Maybe not the first round.
Yeah, because like as I said, this is, it'll feel weird to not have any sort of thought by him on certain things. You know, like
he's only been doing it for the last 40 years.
Yeah, I mean, he's in such a level of importance.
He's a staple
to the game.
In college
staple.
Basketball.
Yeah, so that is good. All right, so then what's the bad?
I'm sticking with college basketball.
Okay.
With 4 minutes and 37 seconds left in the NEC championship game between Bryant and Wagner. I have no idea where those schools are, by the way.
I will tell you where those schools are. Bryant is in Rhode Island.
There you go.
And Wagner, because my cousin Jacqueline went there, is in Staten Island.
You see, I knew you would know.
I would only know. I swear to God, I only know Wagner because my cousin. Like, if my cousin didn't go there, I wouldn't have any idea where Wagner is. I know Bryant. I'm from the Northeast, so I know Bryant College. But Wagner is only because my cousin went to school there.
Well, Bryant was, with 4 minutes and 37 seconds left, Bryant was leading the game in a blowout, 68-32. They would go on to win this game in a blowout. But play was suspended for 30 minutes at that time due to a brawl between the team's fans.
I saw that. It was not a player-initiated thing. Fans
it was not
just
a player,
into...
but some. I think it was some Wagner fans did go up into the stands. I don't. You know, it's not Malice in the Palace.
And a few Wagner players wanted to go up into the stands to get involved in it, which is absolutely stupid.
Exactly.
But young people do stupid things. That's why they're young people. But one player got ejected because he was trying to go up there.
Yep. And a fan was escorted. They were able to get both teams off the court, you know, and, you know, sit in the locker room for 30 minutes as police took care of their business. Escorting fans out of the building that they saw fit. I don't know. It was just a bad look.
And
it kind of mars Bryant's first ever trip to the NCAA tournament.
Yeah, that's right. Bryant is going for the first time ever. So, yeah, my goodness. It didn't take long for us to pack these places up, didn't we? Really? Like, just start jamming people in buildings and shoving them together and getting in fist fights.
Yep.
Here we go.
We got some making up to do.
It's a sad look. And I know, like I said, we were talking about that's part of the joy of some of these conference tournaments is that everything's on the line. But because everything's on the line, stress can also be at an all-time high, right? I mean, there's a lot of emotion. You know, like I said, if Duke plays, give me another team in the ACC that's guaranteed a spot to go. Or forget it. Move on to someone else. All right. You know, if Wisconsin plays Illinois for the Big Ten title, both teams are going to the tournament, right? It doesn't matter. You know, you of course you want to win it, but if you don't win it, it's not all is lost. These other conference tournaments, all is lost. So there's going to be some people who put a lot of emotion into this and really excited about this, and the energy level is high, the tensions are high, the game wasn't going Wagner's way. I'm sure there were a few words, and the next thing you know, pop, pop, pop. You know, it's people are throwing punches. SportsCenter had like a circle on a guy that got clobbered in the face. Just showed him right getting clobbered in the face.
Yeah, wearing a Team really USA sad. Jersey.
That's right. Good eagle eye on you.
Poor guy.
Yeah, exactly.
But the other fun thing about this is that with 2.6 seconds remaining in the game, the officials called the game over so they could clear the court, I think, of Wagner players. So the Bryant fans could storm the court.
Yeah, good for the Bryant fans. Yeah,
just like 2.6 seconds. You know, Bryant fans are ready to storm, and they're like, "Hey, let's get Wagner off the court."
Yeah,
real quick.
You know what? I'm glad you brought that up. I sound like an old man, get off my lawn, person, right? But I have grown in this decision. I like seeing court explosions of fans. I like it. We talked about this with Mike Krzyzewski. Every time he went on the road, he knew that if they lost, the court would be flooded with people. But because your players aren't wearing helmets and shoulder pads and other padded equipment, you are very vulnerable in those situations to lunatic fans storming the court, right? I mean,
who's to stop? Like, Mike Krzyzewski's short.
Right. He's short, right?
And, you know, you get a bunch of drunk college, you know, not the Cameron crazies, obviously, because they, you know, they'll protect. They'll die for him. But you get, you know, say it's just some rogue North Carolina fans, you know, who just maybe they were out in the parking lot tailgating a little too much beforehand. Who's to say they don't walk in there and just, like, sucker punch them?
Yeah, exactly. And if you're a player on the court, it depending on where you are on the court at that moment, you might be left isolated.
Yeah.
Like, if you're caught in the corner, like, on a play, like a three-point shot that's, you know, like, the last second, and guy heaves it up, and you're caught down on the baseline, and it misses, and as soon as it misses, the buzzer sounds, here come the students, and they're taking shots at you. You have no – there's nobody jumping in to protect you. So, again – I get it. I'm an old man. Oh, get off my line. Get off my lawn. Take. But that was prevalent last night in the Wagner-Bryant game, where the officials went, this is going to get nasty if Wagner's on this court.
Yeah, or has potential.
Or has potential. So we better start. Nasty. We better protect these players. If this, we just saw a fight. This could get bad if Wagner players are on this court when the buzzer sounds. So good for them. All right. What's the dumb of the day?
I love this one. Ben Simmons returns to the Wells Fargo Center tomorrow.
Yeah, tomorrow.
For the first time since being traded. And Doc Rivers suggested the Sixers should make a tribute video for him.
Oh, my God. That's funny. That's funny.
It's awesome.
What could we do with that?
Well, the fans have ideas.
Of course they do. Doc Rivers probably did not have the same idea because he's a nice man.
He did not think all the way through. One fan said, hey, a tribute video of him passing up a dunk on Trae Young on loop for 5 minutes.
How about doing that? Just showing that over and over and over.
Or an 8-minute montage of him missing free throws.
I love this idea.
How do you
get Ben Simmons?
I mean, the only thing I couldn't figure this out, was he serious?
See, you could. Ben, Doc Rivers seems like a nice enough guy to be like, "Yeah, man, he's done some, you know, some things here. Let's honor him. Like, you know, like we got James Harden. He's over there now. But let's say thanks for some of the things he's done without really contemplating exactly what that means to Philadelphia fans.
Well, I mean,
because when you watch the Ben Simmons passing up the dunk, it's like, you feel like you're watching a doctored video. There's, like, no way he's not dunking this.
Yeah.
All right? Like, they must have superimposed him passing into a video of him being wide open under the basket.
And the only suggestion that, you know, with that, the only problem with that suggestion was, you know, I didn't remember the player because I don't, was there a player in contention to stop him? No.
Yeah. No. No. He gets by. I believe, if I'm not mistaken, if I remember, because I saw it 100 times, I think he gets past Danilo Gallinari, who was guarding him on the baseline, and he gets by him. And then as he's going for a shot, there's one Atlanta player, but he's coming in a little late. It's a wide open dunk, but instead he passes the ball.
Yeah.
Like, it's just this weird play where you don't know what's in his head.
And the other thing to think about, too, of course, Doc Rivers is going to feel good about saying this because they've won this trade by far.
Right now, by a mile.
I mean,
man.
Harden is producing. He's played in all 5 of the games that he's been, you know, since being traded. He's averaging, 25-plus points per game.
I'm telling you, I think they're the best team in basketball right now, the way it's put together.
Yeah, and Ben Simmons has yet to take the court.
I know. You know, and he's absolutely not going to take the court tomorrow.
No, not for his first game back.
No, not a chance. Not a guy with that kind of instability.
The only thing I don't know is if Doc Rivers was serious.
Right, and that's a good point.
You know,
was it tongue in cheek, or was he really trying to find the good Ben Simmons plays to put together in the video?
Short highlight reel. Like another fancy just like, well, there's plenty of off-season material that you can put in there because we saw all the off-season shootings. Like, God, this guy's lights out. Look, he's just nailing three after three after three.
I told everybody the 1 year he spent at LSU, they didn't go to the NCAA tournament. They didn't. In his final home game, people were putting up signs saying, thank you, Ben. And I kept going, for what?
Right.
A mediocre season? What are you thanking him for? That he went to LSU for 1 year?
I mean, the hype around him has been amazing.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he was a good player. Don't get me wrong. But he didn't lead LSU to the tournament or the SEC finals or anything.
Okay, so but that brings up the point. Is he a good player?
Well, that's the whole thing, right? Like, you can judge, like, talent. Like, you can see him play basketball at his best, and he's good. He's a very good defender. He's really, really, really good defender. But he hasn't quite shown the extra level in the NBA that you're kind of looking for.
Yeah, didn't play for Australia.
Right.
During the Summer Olympics. I mean, so I mean, it's a question mark for me is whether or not he's a good player. Is he?
Well, I think it's hard. It's hard to call yourself a great player when you get traded to a team, and the thing that people say the reason the team got a good deal with you is that you don't have to do much.
Yeah.
Like when that's added to the description of why the trade works for the team that got you is that you don't have to do very much for that team. It's not a endorsement. It doesn't sound like, you know.
The Nets already have two superstars. And you know, honestly, the third superstar on that team idea never worked anyways.
Yeah, like imagine if they said that about James Harden. Like, well, you know, James Harden, he'll dish the ball a few times to Joel Embiid, maybe take a couple of shots. That's all they really need him to do. Like, you wouldn't say that, right? You would say, oh, my God, this creates pick and rolls. This creates Embiid being able to be at different spots on the court because he's such a penetrator. He can get to the basket. They can get Embiid and him to the free throw line, and they're great free throw shooters. Like, the list of things that you get with James Harden were long. The Ben Simmons thing was he's a good defense, and they don't need him to score. Like, that doesn't sound like an endorsement of a great addition. Other than you're not going to cause that much damage, I guess, if you did try to score. I don't know. Just you're right. All right, so we'll be previewing the ACC tournament coming up in about 15 minutes as we continue. It is Wake Up Call on Sports Map Radio.
Wake Up Call with Tony D and Ron Culver continues now on the Sports Map Radio Network. Here's Tony D and Ron Culver.
All right, as we continue, it's Wake Up Call. All right, ACC tournament getting underway in Brooklyn, New York. It's actually underway. They had two games yesterday. In fact, like Georgia Tech lost. By the way, Josh Pastner is one of my favorite coaches in the game, and he's not done much at Georgia Tech. I liked him at Memphis a lot, and then he's gone to Georgia Tech and hasn't done much. They lost yesterday. So the ACC tournament is underway. Eric Devendorf will join us, former Syracuse guard, doing some analytical work of it with the tournament with USA Today. He'll talk ACC tournament with us coming in just a couple of minutes. But the big story, of course, is what the NFL did yesterday with its news. Aaron Rodgers staying in Green Bay. It's news, but it's not surprising news. A lot of us had this, that he was just toying with everybody. He really was going to stay with the Packers. And the Packers bent over backwards to make sure he could stay there. It's going to sign a deal that'll pay him around $50 million a year. Although that was in dispute yesterday, too much. Like, that was going back and forth. Like, the two sides are talking. They haven't signed anything, but it's going to be $50 million a year. But the story of the Denver Broncos acquiring Russell Wilson is very, very intriguing to me. It is one of those trades that you say, this is what you had to do. You've tried everything else. This is what you had to do. You're paying the price, but it is worth the price. Drew Lock, Noah Fant, Shelby Harris, all gone. Draft picks, all gone. But you get a Pro Bowl quarterback. You get a franchise quarterback. And now you have the best quarterback you've had since Peyton Manning. You now are in position, especially with the expanded playoff, to put yourself in the running to get to the postseason. Now, I know the AFC is loaded. And like I said at the top of the hour, I would be shocked if they got to the Super Bowl before Buffalo. But you don't know. Every path is different and every circumstance is different. The Denver Broncos could go to the Super Bowl next year based on circumstances because of injuries, the way the bracket may shake out, just playing well enough to be in the game and then see what happens towards the end. I mean, I'm not going to do the revisionist history thing and tell you that I was on board with Cincinnati all the way through. I didn't know they'd get by the Raiders in their opening game. Right? And I really thought Tennessee would win, and I absolutely thought Kansas City would win. Right? So you don't know. Right? We don't know. You got to get to the postseason first. And the Broncos are now in position to go to the postseason. They may or may not. We don't know. But they're in better shape than they were with a better quarterback than they've had in a long time. And in the NFL, 6 years is a long time. So now that they've got their quarterback, and now that the AFC has gotten even tougher, it really puts the onus on a team like the Steelers to figure out what they want to do. If you're the Steelers, just using an example, not because they're my team, but because they are the team that is going to be really needing a quarterback, be really careful. I mean, don't just grab Kenny Pickett because he's available. Like, don't just grab Malik Willis because he's available. You either really, really like those guys or you're not 100% sure. And if you're not 100% sure, pick somebody else and make Mason Rudolph your quarterback until you really solidify that position. You don't want to be committed to a guy that's not going to work out. Right? You know what was funny yesterday? I was dancing around YouTube and I saw a video on the career of Ryan Leaf. And I was like, he's only like 8 minutes long. So I was like, you know what? I'll watch that. And it was a guy doing a whole retro on Ryan Leaf. And it was a really good little documentary. It was a mini doc. And you know, as many of you know, I'm a fan of Ryan Leaf today. I think what he's doing in telling his story and reaching out to people with addiction problems and trying to help them and getting them help is fantastic. I think his self-deprecation is remarkable. But when I rewatched that, and you're more familiar with it because you're a Charger fan, he was really bad. Like, he was worse than I remembered him, which is really hard because I tend to remember the worst parts about players. It's rare when I say, gee, my eye was opened how worse he was than I remember. How could I remember a guy that won two games?
Yeah, it was.
Like, how do I forget the guy threw two touchdowns and like 50 interceptions?
See, the biggest problem with him, it was the performance on the field and then, you know, the combativeness, the anger that he had off the field.
Oh, yeah.
You know, in the locker room. I mean, you know. Obviously, you know, he's the star of the team. He's the face of the team. Reporters are going to ask questions. And he used to just fight with them all the time.
All the time.
And I'll never forget the one where he couldn't play because his wrist was sore. So a reporter asked him, but, you know, it's like, but how was the golf game yesterday?
Oh, yeah, that's right.
And he just, I mean, you know, had to be restrained. And it was like, but it was true. It was like, you know, you can't play football because your wrist hurts, but you're able to go, you know, do 18 holes of golf.
Yeah, that's a little off. But, you know, but I bring it up because, like, the Chargers went with him. They benched him. They went with him again because, you know, he was the number one overall. No, second overall pick.
Yeah, second pick.
Number two overall pick. So he's their first round pick. So you got to give it as far as you can take it before you make a decision. That's what I'm worried about with the Steelers. Like, don't panic and grab a quarterback that you're like, well, he's not that great, but we need a quarterback. No, chill out. Let Mason Rudolph play. Let Dwayne Haskins play. Make sure you get this right because this AFC is too good to be stuck with a guy that's not going to make it. And you know what? I hate to say it, but the Patriots have to do that too. Mac Jones had a good rookie season. We see sophomore slumps all the time. If Mac Jones in year two and three, if he shows a sort of decline in production, you better be careful because
don't you get
that division and that conference is too tough.
But don't you get the sense that Belichick knows this too?
Yeah.
Like, he'll know, like, you know, just ride with him. You know, he's got to take his lumps.
Yeah.
Because even Tom Brady, his second year wasn't all too spectacular.
Didn't make the playoffs. Went like 9-7, didn't make the playoffs. So, yeah, so you got to make sure that you really evaluate that position well. If you're in the AFC right now, or it's going to be a really, really, really long run of not getting anywhere, even when you have good teams. I'll tell you where it's panic time, and it may not sound like it is, but it is, here in Nashville. At least, and a lot of it is sports radio drama. I'm in the business, so I get it. But there is a worry that, all right, are we, you know, as the Titans, really good enough to be in the conversation with these teams? Like, did we catch lightning in a bottle, or are we really a team that's like, we're a few Ryan Tannehill mistakes away from being just an average team in this flow of greatness that's in the conference. It's a really good time for certain teams in the AFC, and it's going to be stressful for a lot of GMs in this conference, especially with Russell Wilson coming in. AFC tournament preview when we come back. So we continue with Wake Up Call on Sports Map Radio.
Listening to Wake Up Call
on the SportsMap Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, so with college basketball tournaments continuing along this week until we get to Selection Sunday, the ACC tournament began yesterday. It'll be running through this weekend. Duke is the number one overall seed. It's been a very interesting year for the ACC. Let's go to the Progressive guest line. Progressive making it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. Get a quote at progressive.com today. Eric Devendorf joining us, former Syracuse guard, doing some analytical work with the tournament for USA Today, joins us again on a Progressive guest line. How are you, Eric?
I'm good. Appreciate you having me.
Let's talk about this ACC and how much parity is in the middle of this conference. We normally see this as Duke, and then there's Virginia, North Carolina, some of the creme de la creme of college basketball, but this year has been different. How different has it been for ACC basketball this year?
Yeah, it's just been a lot of ups and downs for a lot of teams, I think. Really, besides Duke, everyone else kind of just falls under in that middle category, like you were saying. Speaking on Syracuse, you know, the 8-9 seed playing against Florida State, like, Florida State was a team that early on was considered, you know, a top two team coming in, and a lot of injuries and things like that throughout the season put them at where they're at now. But I think besides Duke, it's really anyone's game, man. My sleeper would be Virginia. I'm not sure if they're much of a sleeper because, you know, with Tony Bennett there, anything could happen. But, overall, been a lot of ups and downs in the ACC. Not as strong this year as usual. But right now, Duke is looking like the clear favorite, even though, you know, North Carolina comes in with that momentum and they're playing pretty good. But I just think Duke, you know, they have a chip on their shoulder after last week losing at home, Coach K's last game at home. And I think they're going to come in on a mission and end up winning the tournament.
Well, let's talk about your former team. Syracuse has always been known for fun March runs that kind of come out of nowhere. Is it possible that they do something in this tournament, maybe not win it all, but win a few games to wake up some people around the country about them?
Well, I mean, they have to do more than win a few games. They have to win the whole tournament if they want to continue to play in the postseason. But it's tougher this year than past years, just with the injuries that we've had. You know, Jesse Edwards, he's really starting to develop on both ends of the floor, and losing him was huge, just that anchor in the middle. And then obviously Symir Torrence over the last few games with ball handling duties. It'll be good for us now today having him back in the backcourt, because we know Florida State is an athletic pressure team, so we're going to need his ball handling duties. But it's not impossible, but it's going to be very, very hard. You know, we have to, you know, hit on all cylinders. You know, guys have to shoot at a high clip. And then on the other side, defensively, we have to be hitting our rotations, communicating, and rebounding the basketball. So I'm not going to say it's impossible, but it's definitely going to be tougher than in previous years.
All right, you talk about a Syracuse team that does need to win the whole thing in order to get to March Madness, but what are the schools that may not need to win, but they do need to show something in this tournament? Who are the bubble teams in the ACC?
Well, I think, you know, North Carolina's in now, but teams like, you know, Wake Forest, Virginia, who else we got in there coming up? Well, those three teams I'm looking at, North Carolina, Wake Forest, Virginia, I think they have to do some work in the tournament just to kind of help themselves going into the NCAA tournament. And then just for their morale as a team, you know, they want to go in there, you know, play well, and continue to build for postseason play into the tournament. So like I said earlier, it's a toss up, man. This year has been crazy. You've seen, you know, every team beat each other, and that's why we Syracuse, I don't say it's not impossible, because I think they can beat every single team in this tournament besides Duke. And it just so happens that if we win today, then we get that matchup with Duke. So, but I think those three teams, North Carolina, Wake Forest, Virginia, I think they still have some work to do, with North Carolina, you know, trending on the upside. But those three teams, I think they're going to be excited to get some good momentum going into the NCAA.
As far as the quality of basketball, because you touched on something about parity, which is always interesting because parity doesn't always equal excellence. You can beat each other up being bad basketball teams, and you can beat each other up
right
when everybody's really good. How do you grade the level of play in the ACC? Are these teams flawed on a national level?
Yeah, I think, well, I mean, you see, you know, we might have, I think right now, five bids, but just overall it's down, you know, from top to bottom in the ACC. Usually you see these teams, at least six, seven, eight teams ranked in the top 25, and we've had maybe one or two consistently the whole year throughout the season. So it's definitely a down year. But again, these guys, North Carolina, the coaches, Hubert Davis, Mike Krzyzewski, Jim Boeheim, Leonard Hamilton, all those guys have been coaching forever, and they've been in every situation. So they're going to have their team prepared, you know, regardless what happened in the regular season. This is a new season, you know, for the team. So I think they're going to be some high-quality competitive games, and I'm looking forward to watching.
Wake Forest, give me your take on them. I like Steve Forbes. He was the coach at ETSU, where I live in Tennessee, so I kind of knew about him at the Buccaneers. But who are the Demon Deacons, and how good are they in terms of this tournament?
Yeah, I think, you know, again, they kind of fall in that, you know, right where Florida State was. Obviously, they have a better record, but, you know, their guard play is good. You know, Steve Forbes, in my mind, is going to be the ACC Coach of the Year. I think he's done an incredible job preparing those guys, you know, game in and game out. But, yeah, that's a team that they could come in and make a run. You know, like I said, my sleeper is Virginia, just because I think Tony Bennett, when it comes to postseason play, he has his team at another level defensively. And we all know that defense, you know, when you get to this part of the season, is going to win games. But Wake Forest is a team that's talented. They have, you know, they have Williams right there, who's an NBA guy, and he could definitely be a game changer, especially, you know, on a high level in this tournament. So, Wake Forest is a team that can make some noise. But, I just think Duke is the team that's going to end up winning the tournament.
Just from your perspective, how well has Mike Krzyzewski dealt with the final year, the last, especially the last few games? I mean, obviously we all kind of know about the loss at Cameron in the final game of the season, but keeping the team sort of focused on those road trips where they're going for the last time to Charlottesville or the last time to Blacksburg or wherever they're going, how have you observed the way this Duke team had to deal with that when no other Duke team had to deal with that before?
Yeah, well, I mean, Coach K, the greatest college basketball coach of all time. I mean, I think during this whole year, it's, you know, from start to finish, it's been a lot of emotions, not only for him, but for his team. You know, just, you know, seeing the ceremonies before, you know, the team's gifting him, knowing it's going to be his last time coaching, you know, ever. It's a lot of emotions, you know, everybody involved in the program. And I think, you know, they've done a great job, you know. Besides that game last week, you know, I mean, they've been rolling. They have everything that you need. I mean, front court, guard play, physical, athletic, defensively, they're going to get up you and pressure the ball. So not only do they have a chance to win the ACC tournament, but I think they have a chance to win the NCAA tournament. And, you know, with everything going on, I think for me, you couldn't really tell. You know, it was the same Duke team that year in and year out, Coach K has them prepared and ready to play. They always have, you know, five-star talent. And, you know, I think they're ready to make a run. I think, you know, all that stuff after the North Carolina game, it was almost good for those guys to lose. You know, they could get all that, you know, those emotions and all that pressure out of the way and just kind of focus on playing basketball. And I think that's the message that Coach K has been sending them. And, you know, especially coming into this tournament, he just wants them to go out there and play.
Yeah, you hear coaches talk about this a lot, where they take that opportunity in a loss and say, now I can refocus my team. But in Hubert Davis' case, he's got a hot team coming into this tournament. The North Carolina Tar Heels have won 7 of 8, 5 in a row, including that win over Duke. How much momentum do you think that carries over into what's going to happen in Brooklyn?
Huge. I just think they played, they were hitting on all cylinders at Duke. I mean, their guard play was outstanding. You know, Duke couldn't guard the pick and roll, and then they were making plays throughout the game. And the big guys, Baycott, he was coming in, and the transfer from Oklahoma coming in and knocking down shots. So, again, that's another team who's well-rounded, you know, with guard play and bigs. I think they excel when they're able to get out and transition and push the pace. But their guards really made them go against Duke, and I think they're on a 4 or 5-game winning streak coming in. So they already have that momentum, and we know they have the talent. They're a 3 seed in this tournament, I believe. So again, this ACC season has been wild, up and down. Anything could happen. We've seen them beat Duke, so if they end up getting that matchup, you know, anything can happen. But, you know, they're a team that I think solidified their spot in the NCAA tournament, you know, with their play down the stretch.
All right, Eric, I'll leave you with this. And again, I understand this tournament will shake things up completely, but in the end, on Selection Sunday, how many teams do you think the ACC will be putting into the dance?
I think it'll be Duke, North Carolina, Wake Forest. Yeah, I think we'll have about four, man. Wow. I think we'll have four teams.
Oh, gosh. I must be getting old because I can remember when it was like 7, 8.
Yeah. Well, I'm a part of the. I was a part of the old Big East, and we used to have eight, nine.
I remember.
Teams.
Yeah. Oh, sure. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So it's been a tough team, man. It seems like the SEC and Big 12 are really dominating this year. But who knows? You know, if you have a team come in and steal a bid, like I said, Virginia or anything can happen, man. They could get 4 or 5. So I guess we'll see.
Eric, great stuff. Really appreciate it. Enjoy the tournament in Brooklyn. Thanks a lot, my friend.
Appreciate you having me.
You got it. Eric Devendorf, again, former Syracuse guard and working for USA Today, covering the ACC tournament as we continue previews this week on Wake Up Call at Sports Map Radio.
This is Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right. Thanks again to Eric Devendorf for joining us, our former Syracuse guard, former Big East Syracuse guard. Good stuff. ACC tournament in Brooklyn, New York. It's already underway as it continues. I don't know what to make of the idea that Duke is the clear-cut favorite and there's really nobody else. That Duke has been a favorite in the ACC tournament, but there's always been somebody else. You know, like Duke would be a top team, but Tony Bennett in Virginia would be good. Roy always had a good team in North Carolina. There would always be somebody else, Louisville under Rick Pitino, somebody else in even the modern day ACC tournament. There was always a team that would be around Duke that could threaten Duke. For the ACC, there isn't. Wake Forest is playing good. Notre Dame is playing good. Miami's playing pretty good. North Carolina is playing pretty good, but they're not on the same level. It's Duke and everybody else sort of on the bottom level. And like he said, again, parity doesn't equal excellence, but it's been kind of middle of the road. And this is why it matters, because as much as KenPom and net rankings will always break down why you are what you are, in terms of your record, there's a whole bunch of analytics that go into defensive efficiency, offensive efficiency, things like that, margin of victory, all of those things that play into the decision. And you'll see it on Selection Sunday. You'll see teams with sort of not stunning records, but they've got enough quad one wins, et cetera, to get them in over teams that have better records, but their wins are just too easy. What the ACC has is sort of a mediocre middle that's not as good as what the Big Ten is producing, what the Big 12 is producing, what the SEC is producing, and that's going to hurt their chances of getting at-large bids. When before, even if you got sort of a, you know, the sort of next tier teams beating each other up a little bit, those teams would beat anybody in those conferences, right? You could take a Louisville team and they could beat anybody in the SEC. And that's just not the case now. And it's Duke and everybody else.
Yeah, but don't you get the feeling they'll get more than four in?
Yeah, that's a little low for the ACC.
I mean, it's just like, I feel like it's automatic that, you know, almost like the same way we look at college football. It's like, well, the SEC is going to put two teams in the playoffs.
Right, yeah. I think there's five easy, not easy, five right now. I think it's Duke, Notre Dame, Miami, North Carolina. I think Wake Forest gets in. He's right about Virginia, but Virginia is going to need some wins. They're a sleeper team with that good defense. They pick up a few wins, maybe even get to the semis, if not the finals. They'll be in. So that'll beef up the resume a touch.
Yeah, and I don't see a team stealing a spot. Like
No. Be like, you're right. You know, yeah, like, it's not Syracuse, Clemson.
Yeah.
You know, anybody else.
I don't see one of them making a deep run and winning the whole thing, because that's the only way they're going to get in.
Yeah, like
Florida
State. You
talk about those teams. They got to win the whole thing in order to get into the tournament. I just don't see that happening.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think this is.
But it is March Madness, so I never put it.
You never know. Goodness, but this is why. Again, this okay. There's I. Last week and into the early part of this week are tournaments where it's win and get your ticket punched and everybody else goes home, right? A lot of these conferences are not sending two teams to the tournament. This is the week where these conferences, where you're going to have to start seeing movement. You don't necessarily have to win it all, but you better
see. Make the semis.
You got to get some, you know, some teams really do need to make a push. He's right. Syracuse has to win the whole thing. But like Virginia doesn't really have to. Like Virginia could get to the semifinals or the finals and get in.
Yeah, I mean, or if they take down Duke.
Yeah.
You know, if one of these teams was to take down Duke, that's, you know, on that cusp, I could see that like, oh, okay, well, you know, you get in. You took down a top program.
You're right, because North Carolina was a bubble team for a while. That win over Duke really put them in a position where it's, they're not really as bubbly as we thought.
No.
Like they're kind of in now, right? So you know they're playing very good basketball. Six out of the last eight. I think they're coming into Brooklyn with.
I do find it funny how we give them credit. It's like, oh, you beat Duke on the night.
Right, on the night. Like it's like it's an added bump or two. Like
it's, you get like, an extra like start, point.
Start dumping in the analytics and start giving them some extra credit. Yeah, exactly, for beating them on that particular night. But, yeah, and, you know, I was talking about this earlier in the week. The ACC tournament used to be the one I would have gone to because it was so loaded. It's not that this year. It's been pretty okay outside of Duke, but it still can be very intriguing as some teams are going to have to try to make a big push. All right, hour number three coming up. More on the Russell Wilson trade, the Aaron Rodgers decision to stay. Denver, Seattle, Green Bay, all making news. We got that coming up as good friend Frank Schwab from Yahoo Sports will help us break it down as well. So we continue at Sports Map Radio.